We're all thirsty for a little excitement to break up the boring, and the makers of Bubbly have released a new sparkling water beverage called Bubbly Burst, a drink that flips the script on boring with a burst of bold fruit flavors. So I wanted to talk about some of the things that made me and my family burst out laughing this week. First, here at the Vile Files, we love watching reality TV, and we watch a lot of TV to get ready for the show, which is funny because we had family in town over the weekend, and they asked what we had to do. I said, well, we have some work to do, and then they were like, well, what do you mean work? Because we spent the whole Saturday just watching, you know, reality TV. And they were, well, it seemed a bit envious that what we called work, they call watching TV, which is, well, it made me laugh. I'm obviously committed to my job. Second, we're in full wedding prep, and I just got my first pair of cowboy boots, and Natalie says she needs to now teach me how to line dance before our welcome party, which, as you can imagine, has been a ton of fun, created a lot of laughs between us, because there's nothing more fun and funny than to goof around with my lovely fiancé. And lastly, our daughter River has really been making us laugh out loud with all of her fake cries and weird facial expressions. We like to think that she's being dramatic. She's just being a baby, but it's really keeping us... keeping our spirits high and laughing out loud all the way to no sleep. So let me know what you relate to and what makes you burst out laughing this week. And don't forget to try Bubbly Burst.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What is going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Well, we're doing something a little different today. A lot of you guys, listeners, from time to time have sent us messages requesting an update on some of these callers. You know, they call in, they share their problem. I say some shit.
You say lots of shit.
We don't know if it's good or bad or if they listen. And so out of sheer curiosity, we just kind of sent out an email to a good chunk of the people who've been on and asked for some updates. And so many of them were gracious enough to write in and let us know and call back in and share these updates with you. So that's what that's what this episode is about. Quite frankly, we had no idea, if someone was going to be like, honestly, fuck Nick.
Yeah, for real. This might be my most favorite thing we've ever done.
Really?
This was like, so, I mean, it was, I mean, Justin Chris, Long is fun, Chris, but this is like so great to like talk to people again and to see how their lives have changed. Cause some of these people, it's been like 6 months. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, well,
it was so good.
We're happy to report that I didn't ruin anyone's life. sounds like we batted 1,000.
You might have ruined someone's day or two, though.
I definitely ruined it.
Re-giving them advice.
I definitely ruined everyone's day. They're like, oh, fuck. Like, I knew I was going to say this, but it hurts a lot more hearing it. So let us know if you guys like this. We hand selected a handful of the updates. We do appreciate everyone who did update us. It was nice to hear, nice to read, and certainly makes me feel good that we're actually accomplishing something other than just entertaining people. But so yeah, let us know if you guys like this. We do more of these from time to time, or maybe just sprinkle in an update. You know, in an intro of our Ask Nick. So, you know, we thought we'd throw this in there. Let us know if you guys enjoy it. We have 7 updates for you. I think that's
starting off the new year right.
The best part is like some of them, because, you know, how many times when I give this advice and I'm like, I know you're not going to take this when you get off the phone. And a lot of them took it, you know, months later.
Months later.
But
they took it.
They took it.
Like sometimes you just got to have that minute where you need to realize you're, because that's the best part is that people are like, he doesn't know me, but you end up being pretty. Well, I was one
we'll
of them.
See. We appreciate you guys listening. If you have some free time, if you're listening to this episode on iTunes or Apple Podcast, we'd love a 5 stars. We really would. I know I would. Make my day. Merch is available. Vilefiles.com. Check it out. Look cute. Be like that snarky person who has like a really clever saying in your sweatshirt and be like, wow, that girl knows what she wants. Oh my God, what a bad ass. I feel like when you wear our merch, that's how people are going to see you as a badass of like, man.
Yeah.
Don't mess with
or that.
Or that
mask.
Don't
mask
mess with that empowered woman. Yeah. Or guy. Or guy. You kind of look like.
Yeah, we had a 10%er come and update us. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's great. I still think it's like 8%. I don't know.
Six. No, I'm just kidding.
Here are your updates.
What's your job with Nick? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
Hi, Catherine. Welcome back.
Hi.
Good to see you again. Do us a favor. Let us know why you called in the first place and remind the audience what was going on, what I said, if it was in any way helpful. I'm anxious to hear.
Yes. So I called in like mid-June because I was in a really weird dynamic of a relationship. We had just started this like thruple kind of relationship and I wasn't very happy about it. And then you kind of told me like first, like if I'm not happy and no one's listening to me, then it's not my fault that no one's listening. And you also used a metaphor of, it was like putting an infected Band-Aid on a wound.
Oh, I remember that one.
And how it would just continue to like hurt me and like cause more pain. And for the first couple months after, I like didn't take a word of what you said for what it was. I was like, no, I know my life more than he does. Like, what does he know? And then like the end of September, I was like, okay, I am really unhappy. I went back and I listened to the episode that we did together. And I was like, okay, but what if Nick is right? And at the end of September, I ended this relationship. And I decided, I was like, gonna 100% just embrace me and like give 110% to make myself better.
Awesome. And?
So I decided like, everything in my life was going to change. I was going to give, like, I was going to eat right, exercise. I was going to give college 110% and give work 110%. And I've lost like 30 pounds and I'm a straight A student in college right now and I'm thriving at work and I've literally never been happier.
Amazing. Great.
I'm like crying. I'm like so happy for her.
Wow. See what happens when we take off that infected Band-Aid?
Yeah, and I like can thank it all to you, and you just gave me like great advice that.
Well, I think you should. I think you should pat yourself on the back too, because it took a lot of work and that dedication to give the 100% in your in school and yourself and if it was, you know, your eating goals and helping you accomplish that. It's good that you took advice, and it's good that you and I, you know, but. It's the work still comes from you and you were able to do that. So don't forget to pat yourself on the back and to give yourself some credit as well. Because it's not just because of me. It's more, way more because of you. I was just a slight little spark, but you were the one who did the work. So don't forget that. And if it ever like, you know, a period in your life gets down and you lose a little bit of motivation, just remember you were capable of doing the work then. You know, you can do it on your own. So don't. I think it's really important to give yourself a lot of credit for all the progress you've made.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that you're doing great and you feel great and you're looking great and you're have a lot of confidence and just remember that, because ebbs and flows of life. You know, someday you're gonna run into someone who, you know, we life is full of. Ins and outs of people. We're going to always meet toxic people and we're always going to meet great people. And we just have to try to manage our way through that landmine. And so just remember that next time, because it will happen. It happens to us all, you know.
All right.
Well, happy holidays. Really appreciate you calling. It's very inspirational, and I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Well, if you're in the mood and you're having some sex and you're not getting pregnant, Modern Fertility is there to give you the information you need to maybe change that if you guys are looking for some family planning. Maybe you want a baby now. Maybe you want a baby later. You never can have too much information too soon. And Modern Fertility was created to give you an affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in. It's yeah, you've done it.
Great. It's really simple. They send you the packet. They give you all the information. You get tracked from when you get your packet all the way to the point where you get it to your house. You do your finger prick, and then you send it back to them, and then you get all your stuff. It's not just for fertility. It's also for overall women's health. So even if you're not looking to get pregnant, you can also find out just stuff about like your egg count, your hormone levels, and stuff like that.
And traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility only costs $159 to get the same information.
And they also have a wonderful community online. So if you have any questions, if you're looking for people to relate to with your fertility questions or your overall women's health questions, you can go online, and there's a great community there, and you can share stories with people.
And if you go to modernfertility.com/VIALL, you get $20 off. So then it's $139. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off your test when you go to modernfertility.com/VIAL. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office. So stay at home, be safe, get your $20 off, and go to modernfertility.com/VIAL. That's modernfertility.com/VIAL. Start family planning today. 2021's your year. That's right. And it's time to take care of yourself with Dipsy Stories. So many New Year's resolutions are about doing less of something. Why not give yourself more of some pleasure with Dipsy? That's right. Unwind after a long day of Zoom calls or whatever the heck it is you're doing, and look forward to some immersive, realistic stories that put you in the mood to have fun with yourself. Oh, Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. Each Dipsy story has characters that feel like real people and immerse you in scenarios that might be bad, but will feel good.
Factual.
That is right. Dipsy also has wellness sessions to help you learn more about yourself, at bedtime stories and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off. But, you know, also if you want to, you know, masturbate, they have those too.
And they are amazing stories.
You heard it here from Chrissy.
Dip into the Dipsy, people. You won't be sorry.
Tap on that button and have a great time.
Click that mouse.
Click that mouse, people. And for our listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/VIALL. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/VIALL. dipsystories.com/VIALL. Welcome back, Steven. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, well, we're glad you were able to call back at an update. For the people who don't remember right off the bat, why don't you give us a quick update of the original situation and where things are at now?
Right on. So I originally called, I think it was around summer. I was seeing somebody who I reconnected with while being home, and we hung out a bunch, and it was great in the beginning, and then communication got kind of flaky right around 2 or 3 months in. And then after that, she kind of ghosted me for several months until recently, and it was a month ago or so, and she hit me up and started to explain why she was acting the way she was and all that stuff. So but in that time you gave me some good advice to hop back on.
What did I say?
I was kind of already doing it, but just be supportive and for whatever she wants, I guess. And kind of approach it at a distance and don't reach out anymore. Don't go out of your way to reach out. And, that's how I kind of handled it you know, I just didn't go out of my way to keep pursuing something that wasn't going to really happen. So that was the advice. I think you gave me some of the great stuff too. I mean, you told me to hop back on the dating apps, and also don't pass up on potential dates just because of how you feel about this girl. You know, even if you're all caught up with her, like, don't like miss out on things that could potentially be good for you. So with that, I went forward, hopped on the dating apps for a little while, had some really interesting experiences with those too. And then, and lately I've just been focusing on work like more towards the end of the year. And, I don't know, the dating apps had good things though. And some weird things, but, it's been overall good. And the advice is great. Just, I needed to hear it from, somebody else with experience and, you know, who understands that.
So did we get an update from this girl? The original girl?
Yeah. Yeah. So she, what happened was, like, after not talking to me for a long time, she hit me up around like October and was like, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to explain everything. I actually, while I was seeing you, she would always hang out with this friend, right? And I would never think anything of it because it was her girlfriend that she, you know, was like in, you know, sports with and like played volleyball with and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it's cool. And her friend was always hanging around. So then she kind of hits me up out of the blue after not talking to me for months and months. I was like, "Hey, you know, like, I wanted to let you know what's up. I came out to my family recently and I'm seeing the girl. Like, she's like my girlfriend now." And I was like, "Sweet." Like,
good for her.
I was like happy for her. I'm totally supportive of that. I was like, "That's awesome." Like, I mean, you could have literally told me that at any point and I would have been like, "That's cool." You know, right on.
Yeah, but you know, you got basically caught up, and, you know, she was, can only, you know, the friends I have who have talked about coming out, there's a process, right? They're trying to figure out themselves and identify where, you know, what they're comfortable with. And in some ways, while she didn't, you know, you were kind of the collateral damage of, you know, her still figuring this out for herself. But it's nice that she reached out to you and kind of gave you that explanation. And not that you necessarily needed it, but kind of shows you it really wasn't about you, you know, nothing you could have done differently or should have done differently. It just wasn't a match, obviously. Hopefully that made you feel a little bit more freer, or, you know, kind of calmed any questions your ego had about, you know, "Oh, what if I would have done X, Y, or Z differently?" I mean, literally nothing you would have done differently would have mattered.
Yeah, totally. It definitely gave me, like, closure and like clarity through the situation, which is great. She didn't owe me that, but she gave it to me, so that was really cool. And, you know, I guess in a weird messed up way, I was part of her coming out, so that's good. I mean, like, the boy in me wanted to be like, "Okay, well, is it monogamous or can we slang out?" But I didn't say that, obviously.
That's,
I
was probably just for, like, the best, right. yeah
but obviously, yeah, the things you think and don't say. But it was cool. And I still support her. I think she's a wonderful person. And it was a weird ending. And it was the second time this year that a girl I had seen and had something with, like, I don't know, that like went for another girl. It was just weird. Weird year, man. It's been a weird year.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much thought into that. I mean, if it happens like two or three more times, then maybe there's a pattern there. I don't know. But
I gotta start wearing a wig or something.
No, just listen. I, you know, maybe it could just be you're a really supportive, empathetic person that people are drawn to and feel comfortable with. And if someone is kind of going through this kind of self-reflection period, it would make sense that they're drawn to people who are good listeners and empathetic and don't make them feel judged, right? So, could just be a downfall of you being a really sweet human. You know, who knows? But the good point is that the lesson you can control is, like you said, continue to be more honest with yourself about where relationships are going and where they're not. You know, don't try so hard to, you know, get attached to someone that is not giving as much as you're willing to give in return. You know, maybe that would, I would willing to be guess that you have a pattern of being a really good, sweet guy, really nice, really nurturing, really there for them,
and you don't check in enough early on in dating situations of how much they're giving back.
Yeah, but I would say it just depends on the girl, but and how into them I am. But yeah, I guess.
Well, that's why I'm saying when you're really into someone, yeah, and we all do this, right? We get really excited. It's like, oh, I want to show them how much I like them. And you do this without ever checking in with yourself. Be like, well, are they doing this for me? I'm clearly showing I'm excited, but do I know if they're excited? And their lack of excitement draws you in more. It's like that, I don't know if they want me. And then you chase. Yeah. And it's we all do it. But I think that's something you could try to learn, get more in tune with, not giving too much too soon without knowing how they feel and feel confident. And if they're not, it doesn't mean you need to do it more. It means that maybe you have to accept the fact that they're not as excited. And maybe you need to pull back a little bit to see if, you know, that's just because maybe you're suffocating them with how nice and empathetic and understanding and how much you're giving. And if you pull back, will they be like, oh, why is Steven not doing that? Maybe I need to do more. They become fearful of losing that special thing. And it just becomes, I think you just need to maybe get better at that balance.
Yeah, right on. I mean, it's definitely something that I think about a lot, not giving too much too soon, until you gauge where the relationship is. But then feelings come into play and then you're love drunk basically and doing stupid shit. So I agree, though. I mean, I agree. And it's great advice.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. I'm guessing you do that a little bit more.
You're putting me in a box, bro.
It's okay. We all do that. Yeah, listen, it's better than being the cliche guy, right? You know, it also could be why, you know, again, like I said, these women are drawn to you because, you know, stereotypically, women are the ones who seem to be the ones giving more up front early on, not checking in with how much they're getting back, right? And so great that you have those qualities. You just need to harness them and get more in tune with them, you know?
Right on. Yeah. I had a question too. I know you've answered a lot before. But what advice would you give someone, say they went through a breakup several years ago, okay, and they're still having, the feelings have gotten better. I mean, usually it takes a lot of time to get over somebody you spend a lot of time with. But what easy tips and like some, maybe even some more deeper, like self-aware tips would you have for somebody who's still working through a past relationship and trying to get over it, from like the beginning to the middle to the end, like some things that helped you get through that kind of stuff.
I think you just have to, for you, talking to you is like, again, the more reflective person, the person who likes to be self-aware and honest with themselves, they run the risk of obsessing and overanalyzing and over critiquing. And then just the fact that they're on your mind makes it harder to get over this person. So you just need to accept that, or that person needs to accept that, you know, it's not a match and there's nothing you could have done. You know, there's nothing you could do differently, and just let it go. And then when you catch yourself, you know, pondering and ruminating, just to stop, you know, and it's hard to do at first, but you just really need to not go down that path and just say, well, hey, that's your ego checking in and overtaking a situation, thinking that you can do something differently or fix it. Or what if I did something differently? Or do I, you know, just accept it for what it is and not the right match, and then value that and prioritize finding someone who there's a connection. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing.
Right on. I like it. I'm going to take a note really quick so I don't forget it. Because I kind of want to take what you said and turn it into a song.
All right. Well, but, the copyrights.
I'll give you 15%.
Okay, great.
Help write the lyric.
I'm writing that down just to make sure, Nick, that you get it.
Okay. If you do, I'll definitely include you on the when you
make
publishing.
When you make it big, you're on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Just, you know, give me a shout out.
We'll go on tour together. And be bros.
You know, as a songwriter, you're just very reflective. And I think that can cause you to obsess and ruminate in your thoughts and make it harder for you to get over. And you romanticize a little bit too much. You know, all great qualities. You just, you know, as always, our strengths can be our weaknesses too, when we don't hone them in.
Right on, right on. I mean, and you always try to be very self-aware and self-reflective, but it can also be to your detriment at a certain point. So.
Yeah, and like I'm guessing, just in general, like, you know, don't talk about your feelings so much on dates. You probably lack, I'm guessing, in dating, is a element of mystery, which, you know, early on, because you're just you emote and you're there and it's great, and but you can become the friend too soon, you know, or you're less of a challenge or less of a mystery, or, you know, so just be aware of it. You know, don't change. You are a beautiful person, but just learn how to control it a little bit more and
right on.
And ask more questions about them, you know, learn more about the people you're on dates with and don't offer so much information about yourself until they ask. That's a great way to gauge someone's interest with you while simultaneously becoming mystery, because you're not talking about yourself, but they're not asking. So wait for them to show an interest.
Yeah, I usually don't talk about anything, especially during the first dates, you know, like about what I don't go into detail about things. You know, I like to learn about people.
Well, that's good. But somewhere along the lines, when you get asked, you just empty out, is my guess.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on the girl on the date.
Yeah.
And also where we're at.
Yeah, but it's easy to not give anything when you're not excited. I'm talking about when you meet someone, you're like, ooh, I like them. You know, finding the balance when that person shows up in your life.
All right. Taking it to heart here. All right. For sure. I agree.
All right, Steven. Thanks, well, man. I appreciate the update. Happy holidays. Thanks for calling in. And good to know that I didn't tell you to move on from someone that ended up being your soulmate.
Yeah, right on, man. Well, happy holidays, guys. It's always, you know, it's always good to hear from you.
All right, take care. Relief band. Well,
relief band.
Chrissy won't shut up about her relief band.
I love my relief band.
The truth
so
is,
much.
But motion sickness is a real thing. Windy roads, cars, planes. If you're, you know, whatever it is, you know, maybe if you're lucky enough to have a boat and go on one. But a lot of us suffer for emotion sickness, and it's amazing. It truly seems like too good to be true, these relief bands. It seems to be honest, like you would think it would be gimmicky, but it's not. It totally
it's
works.
It's not gimmicky. It actually works. You don't have to like fish around in your purse or wonder, oh, did I buy a pill for motion sickness today? And it actually kind of looks cool. It's a band, so it kind of looks like it's fashionable. It's a little accessory, and it really, really helps.
It's the number one FDA cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to relieve nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, morning sickness, chemotherapy, anxiety, hangovers, migraines, and so much more. Plus, Chrissy says it's the best. It's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, fast-acting, provides all natural relief with zero side effects. That's amazing. It's truly incredible. Something science is awesome. So don't fall for all the cheap brands you find at the drugstore that don't do anything, and they certainly don't do what Relief Band does. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for Vial File listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code VIALL, you will receive 20% off. So head to reliefband.com and use promo code VIALL for 20% off. Brittany, welcome back. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Why don't you update our listeners about when you originally called, and just a quick recap of what the situation was. What did I tell you, and where are we now?
Okay, cool. Yeah, I can do that. When I first called in, I was married, and my husband at the time and I were in an open marriage because we were Mormon and we had like no experiences and wanted to like go out and get those experiences and then come back together and see if we wanted to basically make it work. Both of us were pretty.
If my memory serves, you were the kind of the instigator of the open.
Correct. Okay. Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Yeah. So at the time I was getting these experiences, and basically your advice was, most people are in an open marriage, because it's fun and it's something both of them are wanting to do, but it sounded like in my case, it was something that we were doing out of a necessity, just because we didn't have those experiences, which was true. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it was. And you also gave me the advice that to be prepared for the marriage to end, and that was okay. And I also have kids with my ex-husband. And so you also were saying that I believe you had a brother that has a really good co-parenting relationship. And mm-hmm. you gave me some advice about that and said that, you know, people do this all the time and it's successful. And that was it. And that happened in May. And then at about the end of July, I contacted a lawyer to get a divorce, and my divorce just finalized on Monday. So just a couple of days ago. Yeah.
How do you feel about that divorce?
It's actually really, really good. It's worked out really well. My ex-husband and I are like best friends. We co-parent really well together. Our kids are happy. I'm happy. He's happy. I'm in a new relationship. Very happy with that. So yeah, everything really honestly worked out to be the best for everyone. And, you know, it kind of wasn't exactly what I thought was going to happen, but I'm really happy with where I'm at. So overall, good. I'd say it worked out.
That's good to hear.
That new person you met, I'm sorry, that you wrote in, that new person you met when you were like trying this open stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so he was there. How serious is this new person?
It's pretty serious.
Okay, well, you know, you're not asking for my advice. I'm just going to get it. Take it slow.
I know.
You know, this all started with your lack of experience, and wanting to find out more. And this guy could be your one, but your default is to get serious fast because that's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just be self-aware about that. And I would just take it, you know, I would take it slow, you know, so
I
that.
I feel like in like the past few months or the few months where we were like doing this like open thing, I got plenty of experience. I definitely saw what's out there. So I feel like I'm like pretty aware of like.
Sure. Well, you can only learn so much, even if you go rapid fire in a short period of time. But it sounds like you're happy and that's great. But just you can date this person for a long time. It doesn't matter if you have kids, and it doesn't matter that you used to be married. You don't have to just, you know, you don't have to rush into anything. How old is this other person?
He's 30.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm 27.
Has he ever been married?
No, he hasn't.
Does he want kids?
Does he want kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he does. Yeah, okay. He's actually really great with my kids. He loves them and treats them really well, and the kids love him. So he's somehow, I feel like if I were in his position, I would have a harder time adjusting to like being thrown into having like three kids in my life, but he's done a really great job with it. I've been really, really.
Did you do any therapy with your divorce?
I not specifically with the divorce. I did like a little bit of couples therapy at the beginning of this entire process, but that
with
doesn't
the new guy or the really old like, guy.
No. With the old guy, with my ex-husband.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying you need therapy, but like at all, but it, you know, this guy, the new guy, because he was there from there was an overlap. So it could be really easy and possible for you to not process all your emotions that you experienced because you were too busy feeling guilt-free about it, really enjoying the new guy, you know, and feeling good about the divorce going pretty well. And I don't know, but like you might be totally fine. But like,
yeah, I really do. Like, I understand what you're saying.
I'm just, like, but like, it just don't be afraid to check. Don't be afraid to check in, even though everything's feeling great. You know, don't be afraid to ask yourself, you know, fears, questions, things like that. You know, again, because if this guy wants kids, he's 30. He, you know, that's not, he chose to be in a relationship with someone who just got out of a marriage who has kids, and that's totally fine. But he has to recognize that that might mean that you might want to date for a period of time, and he has to wait till he's 33 with you to have kids.
Yeah, I think we're very much on the same page, and we've talked about it a lot, just kind of like not putting any timelines on anything and just doing what feels right in the moment and kind of going with that and following our gut, which is what we've done from the very beginning, and it's worked out for us. So, and it's definitely a situation that didn't go without a lot of processing.
Yeah. You know, do you think you're going to ever want an open relationship with this?
No, okay, absolutely not. Not even a little bit. I'm very much, I feel like a lot of people go through their 20s and they date all these people and they have these experiences where they find out what they need, what their needs are and what they want and what they don't want, because they have many different experiences dating people. And I feel like with me, it was like, I went in a marriage for 7 years with none of my needs being met. So I'm very aware of what my needs are, and I'm very aware of what I want and need. And he perfectly fulfills all of that for me, like every single thing. So I have no need for that in my life at
Great.
All.
Well, just know you are in the honeymoon phase with this guy. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but just, this is, I just
I
want you,
this is how this would go.
What I want you to do is just like appreciate what it is, but don't like ignore that, like, the same thing's going to happen with this guy to a certain degree. It sounds like you're hopefully better at addressing things early on and not waiting 7 years and get to the point where you're asking for an open relationship.
Right.
And
yeah,
he's probably just a better fit in general, because like you said, you've done all these other things, but that doesn't mean like you'll want to check in and you know, just be patient with yourself. Take it slow.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. And, you know, don't feel like you have to play house.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think we're both two very self-aware people. And
awesome.
And
I'm glad it worked out.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad that you guys yeah. are in a good co-parenting situation. And it sounds like this was a much healthier approach than trying to have an open relationship with someone you didn't want to have an open relationship with.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, best of luck. Thanks for letting us know. We appreciate the update. Happy holidays and congratulations.
Thanks. You too. See you guys later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Paulina, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Why don't you remind our audience when you called, why you called?
Yeah.
Give a little update on everything.
Okay. So I called around like August. And at the time, my boyfriend and I had moved into an open relationship. The reason being was, I mean, you kind of called me out on it. I was kind of being a little controlling and just like wanting to kind of give him the option of dating around if he so desired. And like the reason why I was doing that was probably not the best reason. Like I just kind of wanted him to kind of decide like, yeah, okay, like I'm in this just for you. I'm interested just in you, and like know that he had dated around and like had other options, you know? And so that's why I had called originally. And then you kind of gave me the advice of like, there's absolutely no point of going into an open relationship unless you actually want to like spice things up and you guys have like that full trust in each other. And just kind of are, I don't know, bored with your relationship and just want to do something new. So since then we decided to just, I guess, go back into a closed relationship, if that's whatever you call it.
It works for me.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, there's so many terms nowadays. But yeah, so we just decided to, I guess, go closed again. And we are open to like in the future, if like one of us, like as long as there's always that trust there, if we still kind of feel like we want to explore, we're still open to that, but it has to be, you know, for the right reasons, like you said, and not just because I'm a control freak. So
are you still a control freak? Did I help? I don't mean
you did. I mean, you like called me out when I needed to be called out, which I think my boyfriend is almost too nice, and like he like doesn't like calling me out on my like BS.
Oh, because he's younger than you, right?
He's slightly younger, yeah.
Yeah, and so you were worried that he was going to like basically wanted to go and be with other people because he didn't have as much experience. So you were
right.
Like, let's just do it, before he was like not even wanting to do it.
Right. So I was kind of pushing him. And I think like I definitely have noticed different aspects of my life where like I used to be a lot more controlling and I try not to be. I'm just type A personality, you know, sometimes it just comes out. But I definitely think, you know, like you always call everyone out. And I think that definitely helped me in that sense.
Did he listen?
Yeah, he listened, and at first he was just kind of weirded out. He's like, wait, this is strange, you're on a podcast, you know. And then he kind of started laughing. He's like, well, yeah, like he's kind of right. I don't know if I necessarily even wanted this. And I don't know. I think he appreciated that I like was willing to kind of reach out to other people and like see if this is even, if it was something that we wanted to do, you know. So I think it worked.
Well, so you guys are still together. You're still.
Yeah, very much together, you know, pretty happy, still living through the pandemic together. So,
I mean, I'm just going to say I saved your relationship. I'm just kidding. I'm sure you guys are totally together. Well, that's great. It sounds like, wow, closed it back up. And, but, you know, well, do you feel like you guys communicate a little bit better now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we ever had huge issues as far as communication, but I definitely think, I mean, that kind of just opened up the doors for better communication in the future, you know, and yeah, I think we're doing good.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Polina, I appreciate you taking the time to give us a quick update. A ton of people have been asking for these updates, so thanks for reaching out, and I really appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
How's it going, Mackenzie?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in and giving us a quick update on any progress or lack thereof that you made. I'm kind of waiting for the person to call back and be like, you really fucked it all up for me.
Yeah, you didn't do that for me, so that's good. I don't have – I might
– Do you want to remind do you want to remind the people listening briefly what it was you were what your original question problem
for
was.
Sure. So I called in because I well, just a little background. I'm almost 20. I'm like 2 days shy of 20. So at the time I called in, I was like, I'm obviously 19. I had my first like real dating experience that ended in the guy using me as like to cheat on his girlfriend, or at least that was like the suspected thing. I never ever got confirmation, like the timeline of things, but very fishy, very weird. So I just called in kind of like for an unbiased opinion, because like my friends and my mom and everything, they were all like gonna agree with whatever I said because I was pretty sad at the time. And so we kind of talked about that, and you agreed that he probably did, just given the details of the story, he probably did. I don't have a very fun update. He never reached back out to me. I still don't know whatever happened. But your advice to me was to just kind of be thankful for that experience, just to kind of like learn. And in a kind of a twisted way, it's actually a really good first experience to have. And then just to keep dating, which I did. And that was like 6 months ago. So 6 months later, I have definitely been deemed the queen of bad dates. I have
by
gone
who?
On...
By who? Mom?
My friends. No, not my mom. Well, my mom thinks that they're all fun and like I didn't ever go on a bad date, but I really beg to differ. Every single date that I went on wasn't like catastrophic, but they all had
Yeah,
something.
Define bad dates.
Okay, they were just like either just excruciatingly awkward, or the guy was just like really not funny, or just, I don't know.
Such a burden. Just... You guys expect us to be comedians.
I know. Okay, well, I'll explain a little
more about
that.
You're not funny, sir.
I like to toot my own horn quite often and say that I'm pretty funny. So it's just hard to be on a date when the guy is just like not contributing to the conversation. So okay. The first date that I went on after this whole debacle, like the cheating thing happened, the guy like made fun of me the whole time. And like with that, he never complimented me once, just made fun of me. He called me like, because there's like a golden retriever out where we were at on like the waterfront, and he's like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like, look at that cute dog. And he's like, wow, you're really vanilla, aren't you?
Like, okay, oh, a no. So what, I mean, have you learned anything? I mean, so if my advice was like, hey, like dating is like a marathon, not a sprint, and you should get a bunch of experience, like despite all these bad dates, do you feel like you have more or less perspective? Are you still open to continue dating? Like, what's your mindset?
So I'm definitely open to continue dating. I did learn, like, I remember just being so sad over like the whole, that one first experience, because he was so validating. And I was like, oh shoot, like I got so close to you know, finally having a boyfriend and not being that, I guess, a weirdo at almost 20 who's never even had any sort of experience like that. And I kind of, in the beginning of like my dating experiences, were like dating to like find a relationship. And then I don't know when the switch happened in my mindset, but I'm like, okay, that's kind of stupid because I am so young and I have just other things going on. Like I'm in university and everything like that. So I have other priorities that need my attention versus just dating. So I kind of would just go on these dates to just have fun.
I'm so happy for you that you see it that way right now.
Yeah. So it's not as like,
I have other things that need more attention than dating. God.
Yes.
If everyone your age could see it that way. And again, like, yeah. You know, you could be 20 and find love and start having family if you, if it's right. But
right.
You know, sometimes.
But that's just not that realistic, honestly. And I just actually got elected as like my sorority chapter president. And I'm like almost at a 4.0. I have other things going on that I've put my time into.
Honest question, and I don't know the answer to this, but do you feel like if you were still hanging out, let's say in a serious relationship with boy number one, the original OG, if you will, do you think you would have had the energy and bandwidth to be successful in these other areas in your life right now?
No, because that whole thing, like looking back and just like, I'm a very reflective person, so throughout the year, I've really gone back to that one experience and tried to not be sad over it and just kind of like actually just like make peace with the fact that I was just really like lied to and kind of deceived. He, like looking back, we really didn't have much in common. Like we really didn't. When I was like psychoanalyzing the date, like the one date that we didn't go on in person, there was a point where like I remember sitting kind of in silence, like the conversation kind of died. Because we didn't have anything in common. And I really realized that I liked this person because he was really good looking and he kind of had this like status, like kind of life of the party way about him. And me being 6 months ago, a very insecure person when it came to dating, I'm like, oh, well, this guy likes me. So I have to like him because, you know, he has all these like surface level traits that I think I should like. So, but since he was just, bless his heart, but like now that I can like look at it from more of like a bird's eye view, I'm like, that was not a good person. If I would have stuck with that and continued to kind of like lie to myself and tell myself, oh, this is a great guy, this is such a great person, I probably, 6 months later where we're at now, if I was still talking to him, like the life was sucked out of me talking to him for like a few weeks. I can't even imagine where I would be at now. And his girlfriend, they're still together. And I see like, you know, my one friend always checks up like, oh, let's see what she's doing. I'm like, can we just not? Look, I don't care. But she'll say like, all she does is like post about him. So I just could see where I would get sucked into that. Cause he is one of those people that you're just like, oh my gosh, I should like you because you're just this certain person. So I'm glad.
I'm really happy for you. And it sounds like this was a, like I said, a great rewarding experience for you. You seemed to be far more armed with the proper dating ammunition.
Definitely.
Than you had 6 months ago to
definitely
kind of take things as they come, right?
And, exactly.
And in the meantime, sounds like you have so many other things going on in your life, as a lot of people your age do, and figuring out what's the best path for you. And now you can focus a lot of that energy. And do you feel like you're investing, it's less work to go on these bad dates so that if they don't go well, that you're just kind of like, you more or less appreciate the experience rather than like be bummed out that another one didn't work out?
In the beginning, I would be so bummed out. Like I remember coming home and I would have to like text my mom on the way home and be like, cause I've been living at home since COVID. And like, I would text her and be like, don't even ask how it went, cause I don't even want to talk about it. And I would have that reaction at first and be bummed out. But then as I slowly did it more, it would just be the funnest thing for me. Cause even if they were bad, I was like, this is like an adventure. And the stories that you have are just hilarious. And It honestly has made me closer with a lot of my friends too, because I think in being my age, everybody's kind of pretending to a level, because nobody wants to be the person that's like going on bad dates or not able to find a relationship, or be that person that stands alone and like not even wanting a relationship. So I think by me kind of sharing my experiences with like my sorority sisters that I don't know well, and just kind of being open about it, I've been able to get closer with like other things in my life, because I kind of have just like, I'm not pretending anymore that I'm not an insecure person about it anymore. It's just like, it is what it is. And when the real deal comes my way, it'll be really cool and awesome. And I'm open to that. But
yeah,
for now,
I mean, that's awesome. And I think it's totally fine if it doesn't come your way anytime soon.
Exactly. Yeah.
In the meantime, it sounds like you're going to hopefully have a lot of energy and time to accomplish a lot of things.
Yeah, hopefully. So, yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, appreciate the update, Mackenzie. I'm really, really happy for you. It's gone down this path, and you seem to have a really great perspective on dating, especially at this chapter in your life.
Yeah, I'm thankful for it. So
awesome. All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
All right. See you guys. Take care. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm great. Remind us of your story.
I will. So I'm Melissa. I'm 34. I called in last summer because I had a friend with benefits situation, and he was looking to pay off my car loan. I don't know if you remember, it was kind of an odd story. The advice you gave me was to have the talk with him to see, you know, what he wanted, what I wanted, to find out whether we were aligned or not. So I did.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, he didn't want a relationship. I did stop sleeping with him a few weeks later.
So why did he want to pay off your car loan in the first place?
He basically explained to me that he had a family that was well off, and they took care of him, you know, when he was buying a house and put him in a really good situation. And he thought of me as family, and he wanted to help me out as well.
So you said, I want to date you. He said, well, I like you, but I don't want to date you. And then did he still pay off the car?
He did. So we stopped sleeping together in August. He didn't start making payments. I mean, I obviously continued to say no, because it wasn't something that I wanted, because I wanted to be in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
We came to an agreement in October, because he has a reno house. So I decided that I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to constantly take from him. Like, that's what my biggest concern was taking from him. So I offered to help him with his reno house and to like essentially work off the money. So that was the agreement that we had. So it's not, I mean, it didn't end. I didn't get my Prince Charming or anything at the end. Like, I'm hanging drywall and stuff on the weekend.
So is this gentleman still in your life?
Yeah, he is. I go over and I help him with his house once a week.
And are you emotionally capable of looking elsewhere for love, or
yeah,
you are?
I definitely feel like I am. I haven't had any luck with online dating. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, I haven't given up yet.
It takes time.
Yeah.
But when you see this gentleman, are you indifferent?
No, I mean, no, like, to be completely honest, I think I'm always going to have feelings for him. I'm not
that's
one of those people.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And especially, well, I guess my point of saying this, and I don't know if you're necessarily asking for it, is you probably should not have him so actively in your life. You're really just torturing yourself, or even your subconscious. I mean, even if you seem like you've accepted it, right? That's a good thing. You're just like, you're not going out. You're not there and showing up with this like conscious idea of like hopeful and maybe he'll change his mind. But there's still a part of you, even subconsciously, that is just holding you back. And if nothing else, it kind of tortures you. And you know, especially if you can admit that you still hold a bit of a flame for him, you know, or candle out of his flame. I don't know what the fucking saying is. But either way, like you're not indifferent. And so that is affecting you on some level, you know, and I think for you to be totally free and open to find something new, you really need to let you know, get this guy out of your life. And not that there's anything wrong with him. It's a little unhealthy.
Is a good friend to me, though, so it's really hard for me. I would say, like, where I was last summer and where I am now is, like, leaps and bounds. Like, last summer, I was really down, okay. Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough?
How often are you seeing this guy?
I see him once a week.
Okay.
It's strictly business. So, I mean, there's been nothing. We're strictly platonic. I mean, okay. And I think that helps me separate my feelings.
All right. It's not my favorite situation for you, but it does seem like you're in a better place. And how long before you don't owe him anything?
So he said my working rate was $50 an hour, and he has a spreadsheet. I haven't seen the spreadsheet, but he's keeping track of it.
That's great. I mean, because in these situations, when you have these cloudy kind of financial agreements and these like friendships / used to be romantic or intimate, you know, sometimes what they are is a hook, right? And a spreadsheet to me says that you have a clear path of being out. Like, you've chosen. I hate to sound like out, like you're some sort of prisoner and he seems cool and he wanted to help you and it sounds like it was helpful to you. But, like, you need to be able to have, and, you know, $50 an hour, that's pretty generous. I don't know what you're doing for this $50 an hour, but that's a nice rate, right?
And I mean, I raked some leaves last week and then they were wet and heavy.
So yeah, $50 an hour, that's great. Yeah, so... So he seems generous in that sense, but it's certainly not a typical situation. It's not my favorite situation for you, but as long as you can be honest with yourself and you have a good head on your shoulders about it and you are actively out there dating and accepted that this guy is never going to come around and that this is truly someone who just like likes you as a person and will never be more than that, then, you know. I guess, you know, I still think there's a little hook he has inside it.
I mean, I'm not like a light switch. And I know like a lot of people can be like that. You know,
But most people don't show up once a week and rake leaves for the person they wish they were in a relationship with, you know, so.
Yeah.
I personally think that you like that you owe him.
I do, but he still does things for me too. Like, it wasn't just paying off my car.
I'm not trying to paint this guy as some sort of Machiavellian.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy.
No, at all. This is your choice. Like, I think you like it. I think he just seems to have the means and for whatever reason, he's doing something nice for you and... You know, he easily could have been like, it's $20 an hour, 25, you know, $50 an hour. That's pretty good. But yeah, just listen, all I'm saying is be aware of that, right? Be aware of the small lies we tell ourselves. And that eventually you probably will need to cut him out of your life for you to fully move on. And you might not find the type of relationship that you really want and deserve until you do. You still have like one toe at least and probably a half a leg in the water. That's a little toxic for you. And that doesn't make him toxic, but it has some toxicity in it.
But I stopped sleeping with him.
Positive, right? So yeah, you're not fully immersed. You're not drowning in this toxic water. But I'm just saying... It's still.
Sometimes we sit on the couch and our legs might accidentally brush up against each other.
You got wet. You got wet socks. You know, like before, you were like underneath the water, choking on this toxic water, and it was, you know, cannibalizing all your energy and emotions and feelings, and you were confused and you were incapable of doing anything else. Now, you know, you're kind of out, but like you decided to put your feet in water with wet socks, and now you just have wet socks all the time. And like you're able to function, but like it's just constantly an itch that you need to scratch. And just be aware of that. You know? Like imagine like hanging out with someone with wet socks. You'd just be like, what is wrong with you? Why are you walking so funny? And that's you on dates with other people.
Yeah, probably.
So just, probably. You know, baby steps, I guess. Thank you for the update, Melissa. I'm glad that it seems like I somewhat helped, but it's good to, I'm glad you checked in for maybe a small reality check of,
thank you.
Rake more leaves. Get out.
Now we're shoveling snow.
Whatever you need to do, but it's definitely holding you back. And when you find Mr. Wright, he's going to think it's fucking weird. Just so you know.
I mean, if I find Mr. Wright, I can see cutting it off. But where I am right now, you know, I'm actively
Okay, fine. But usually it's most likely it's going to require you to be out first for you to be emotionally capable of. I don't think we appreciate just how much we project our feelings and actions onto people, you know? You know, the energy we give off. Like, my guess is you don't seem as open as you want to believe that you are to meeting someone else, to someone else. Because you're still seeing Mr. I Want to Be With You every week. So, all right. Oh, hopefully I didn't ruin your day.
I have a date tonight, Nick. Great. I'm doing my best.
Great. I hope it goes great. And I do applaud you for doing that. I think that is really great that you are actively trying. Because you know what? You can date even if you're not totally in the absolute best headspace. Because when are we ever in the best headspace? But
yeah. So dating is so hard. You need to have an episode on online dating. So hard.
Well, we have to try to make it easier for ourselves, Melissa, which you are resistant to. You know, hiking is hard. It's harder to do with wet socks. You insist on hiking with wet socks.
I suppose.
And then you're like, it's hiking's hard. You know, I can only do so much. But you're going to be fine.
All right.
All right. Have fun on your date tonight.
Thank you. Right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Hi, Stacey. How are you? Thanks for calling back.
Thanks. I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be on the update. And your advice was awesome.
Remind our audience why you originally called and what I said and why it was it awesome.
So,
I honestly don't remember.
Because, okay, let me refresh your memory.
Thank you.
My mom had told my daughter that she liked a African-American boy, my 13-year-old daughter, and she said, you can't date a black boy. And it was this point of contention with my daughter, of course, and then she told her sister, who is African-American, her stepsister, and then they told my husband. My husband told me, so I wrote in, how do I handle it? What do I do? As far as maybe bringing light to my mom, and also, I don't know, trying to rectify the situation for everybody. Your advice was to love my mom, be gentle, but to have her apologize, not just to us, but more importantly, to the girls. And you said there's nothing worse than being a victim in your own home, which is really true.
Damn.
And yeah, did it work? Took the advice. Or
so, basically, it sounds like work. I said, like, love your mom, but love her toughly, kind of like tough love. Don't back down.
Totally. Yeah. It's weird as we get older too. You know, our parents always teach us things. And then as an adult, it's interesting when we can teach our parents things too.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you had that conversation with mom, she's not only apologized, but hopefully maybe been a bit enlightened?
I'd like to think so. I asked my husband, he said, I don't know if people change, you know, but it definitely changed the way she is to our opinions and respecting our views, even if they aren't the same. And I think it brought her closer to everybody in the family, which is great. And it's,
the important thing is you didn't allow any confusion for your kids to even question if there was any truth to what grandma said, kind of thing, you know, where it became so uncomfortable you didn't address it, and then your kids are left wondering if maybe, you know, grandma has a point of view, and you knit that in the bud, and since grandma apologized, that you set a clear expectation of right and wrong, and that's great to hear.
Yeah, it feels really good to stand up for my kids too, even when it's so close to home. So, you know, I think that's setting a really good example too. Like they may be kids, but they're just as important as grandma, you know? And hopefully it brings some harmony, you know, to everything.
All right. And did your daughter date this fine young gentleman?
She didn't, no, but her taste hasn't changed. So, you know, and I actually played the podcast for her and my husband, and they were both really impressed with your advice. And you said, sounds like your daughter's a little bit more mature than grandma. And that made her smile too. So pretty cute.
Great. It's always very nice to hear. Appreciate the update. I'm really glad, obviously, that the situation, you know, it's nice that grandma had an open mind and was able to humble herself to, you know, apologize to her grandkids. Not easy to do, you know, for, I don't think a lot of grandmas imagine having to apologize for, to their grandchildren. Yeah. So, good for grandma. That's, you know, pat on the back for her. And it sounds like a lot of love and progress is going on in the household, and that's always a great thing.
Yep. Onward and upward, moving forward in a positive way, and all of us are growing and I guess learning from each other, which is what family's all about. So thanks for the help. It was nice to have an outside perspective help me work through it too.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you listening. And
thanks for the show.
Very happy holidays. Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for the podcast. It's great.
All right. Thank you, Stacey. Take care. Merry Christmas.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Stacey.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Hopefully it was uplifting, inspirational. If you want to, what we're going to do is in the notes, we will let you know the original episodes, all our updates were from in the notes. So if you want to go back and listen to the original, I mean, how we have, like, you know, email them and let us know. They all know, Chrissy. They all know.
It's true. They'll all know.
They'll all know.
I'll ask them.
So the original episodes that all our callers that updated us on their notes will be in the episode notes. So be sure to check that out.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.